Good morning. Today is Thursday, November the 10th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County District Attorney Maggie Fleming.
Good morning, Brian.
It is so far.
Yes, it is. Happy early Veterans Day.
That's right. Are you guys working tomorrow?
No, the courthouse is closed. We're off.
That makes sense.
Yes.
That makes sense. I wish we and others could afford that opportunity. That's one that counts.
It is. It's wonderful, too. I know many communities have it, but I know over at the Adorney Center, Eureka Rotary does a tremendous veterans program. I think it starts at 11.
Yeah, and all the cemeteries with the flags.
Yes.
And yeah, there's a lot of neat stuff. Our quote this morning is an Irish proverb, quote, "Better to be quarreling than lonesome." Thought you'd appreciate that one.
Yes. Sounds like the dinner table I grew up at.
Yeah. Well, I would think that's probably an interesting component of your chosen profession.
Yes, it is.
The cultural norms of if you grew up with a quiet family, quiet. Okay, yeah. The eyes go up. She's remembering when. If you grew up with a demonstrative, over-the-top family, that's probably your norm.
Right.
But when you're working with these folks, what is normal isn't necessarily acceptable norm by today. I mean, go back to your folks. Or
right.
Go back to either mom or dad or grandma and grandpa, hearing stories of how they used to interact or the buddies they grew up with, East Coast Italian families, probably were not very quiet.
Right.
As contrasted to what we may do now. Kind of like with vernacular that's used and all the various customs and scripts that you deal with. Do those get in the way of trying to understand some of the cases and the characters that you deal with? Or do those provide insights?
I think it provides insights. I appreciated my family sort of had that idea that you could talk about anything at the dinner table. And so there was very heated discussions sometimes around the area of politics or issues that Oakland was facing, whatever it may be. And it was sometimes very trying, but always very interesting. But what I always appreciated was it had to have some sort of factual basis. People weren't allowed to just express opinions that couldn't be challenged or evaluated. And so I think that's helped me because that's something I really understand about sometimes the presentation in a courtroom. You get to the end of it and you go, okay, that was very passionate, but what are the underlying facts and law that support that position? And I just think that's always sort of a good, you know, sort of rule to remember when you're in particularly political debates or other debates, that hopefully you're still ultimately suggesting why your position should be found to be the case, and that should be supported by facts.
Great oratory,
right.
However.
Right. Where's the substance? Where's the beef?
Yeah. Oh, I still truly appreciate Roger Redoni's comments about folks in those situations. All hat, no cattle.
Right.
Like, way to go, cowboy. Yeah.
Well, that is sort of that old law rule, too, of, you know, if you've got the facts, you know, pound the facts in law. If you don't, pound the table. It's, you know.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yes.
Oh, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Maggie Fleming.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County DA Maggie Fleming. Maggie, the customs of folks that you work with are, if it's neat, if it's fun, if it's, you know, foundational, that's intriguing. But here we've got the Indian culture, multi-generation Portuguese, Italians, Irish, German, a lot of blue bloods. Do you see that much difference in how they interact with one another? Around the dinner table, certainly. Around the bar, certainly. Driving. I mean, do you see any kind of trends or things like that that would maybe not reduce the impact of something, but explain, perhaps, or give a little bit of insight into some of the cultural that were precursors for what you're dealing with in the courtroom?
I think in any county, any community, one of the cultural issues that you see, and particularly, you know, depending on obviously some of the bigger urban areas, you're looking at different immigrant populations that come through. A lot of it has to do with not just what is allowed to be spoken of outside of the family or outside of their particular culture, but then also who is the spokesperson. You know, I've met both here and in Contra Costa County, there are some cultures where it would really not be considered appropriate for me to be speaking to the woman and not be speaking through her husband, but I'm trying to find out from her about if she's in a safe place or not. So there's a lot of those sort of very difficult cultural, you know, sort of rules that you have to work through when you are, you know, in the field that I'm in. And then also in many cultures, just the whole notion of we're going to take care of this within our own culture, and we're not going to involve the law or the courts. And that can be difficult because some of the crime is very significant, and whatever was allowed in the country they came from, you know, we have to address the issues that we're seeing and the rules that we have in our culture, our country.
Even when you might personally say, thank you.
Well, generally for it to get to us. I mean, I'm talking about more specifically, you know, early on I had a case where a family had in essence allowed their minor daughter to be married to a much older man in exchange for
Dowry.
And it was, she, you know, sort of rejected it and understood that that's not something that should happen to her. And it created a huge problem, obviously, within the family. And I was put in the position of trying to explain to them that that's a very serious felony crime, you know, a minor in a relationship with an elderly man. And it was an interesting process because they really, and I think that happens frequently. You have people who come to the new country and say, well, that's fine for you, but those are not the rules we live by.
So were you able to peel back those layers and be able to get them to the point, at least of understanding, maybe not acceptance, but of understanding why there was an issue?
Yes. And I don't know that they ever ultimately agreed with the position that the law enforcement agency and my office was taking, but that they understood this was not going to be allowed. You know, and obviously the teenage daughter was very relieved. But it was an interesting process. It was one of those situations where I understood very quickly I was not supposed to be speaking to certain people in the room, and I shouldn't be making eye contact. And again, those are some of those cultural issues that you have to be really aware of, because otherwise it just, everything shuts down.
With the Indian or Native American communities that we have in our area, there's that sense, like you were talking about, we'll take care of, thank you very much, we'll take care of our own. Do you acquiesce to that at all, or do you have to kind of get a little bullheaded and lower your head and say, well, no, we're going to take care of it, even though it runs counter to the culture, but in a different way than what you were just alluding to?
Right. So what I've really appreciated, and Humboldt is really one of the, you know, sort of the first counties to do this, and that is tribal courts. So it's a much better system for people in tribes to work through various issues through the tribal courts. And it's really been, we're sort of one of the models statewide. And so I think that's really helped with that. Still, the very serious violent crimes come through the state courts, and I think that's appropriate. And it's, I think that works very well.
You get somebody who's not that sensitive, perhaps, to some of these customs, like a gal talking to a guy out of a real patriarchal culture. Does it really stymie and just pretty much dead in the water, so to speak, with trying to prosecute and to get information and to find out what's going on? Do you reassign somebody into that kind of a scenario if it's really gotten to the place where it's just, it's in the muck and it's not coming out?
We can reassign. We haven't had that many personality issues. The issues we see are the difficulty that victims face when they've sort of stepped out of the cultural norms and reported a crime, or, you know, reported, and actually this is true with all cultures. Sometimes it's just the idea when someone reports on a family member that other family members really are angry and upset, you know, and that's, like I say, that's true every culture.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Maggie Fleming.
What can we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this very morning with Maggie Fleming, talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Maggie, if we kind of step away from the cultural stuff we've been spending a little bit of time with, some of the serial criminal, there's the one that's getting all the headlines, but there's serial rapists, there are serial burglars, there are serial domestic abusers. I mean, there's lots of that are going around. Do you find that they too hit a profile of some sort? Whether it's really quiet, really demonstrative, really this, really that. Are there tendencies that you look for in some criminal offenses by those committing the crime?
So some have a very specific pattern that they follow. And that's one area that's very helpful, I think, to law enforcement, because you can have, you know, particularly in a community like this, it's not that hard to go from city to city within our county. And what's nice is law enforcement, the detectives get together and stuff, and so you'll say, you know, I have someone who's done X, Y, and Z, and immediately another investigator, you know, in another city says, we've had that as well. So there are those sort of serial profiles.
Like the guy with the shotgun that wasn't loaded the last couple of days, going around trying to hold up either successfully or not.
Yes, yes.
There's just enough back and forth between everybody that...
Right, you know. And that's definitely true with serial sex offenders. I've worked some of those cases, and sort of how the case is put together is frequently detectives from different cities realizing there's a very distinct pattern here. And if we provide each other the information we have, we might more quickly solve this case. So yes, they do frequently have very distinct patterns and sort of the profile of their crime is very consistent.
Lack of imagination?
I think it's a matter of it depends. One is the pattern works, you know, for certain types of crimes, but then it's also some of them have a very specific way that they're always going to commit a very specific crime. That's probably more true for some of the sex offenders.
Yeah, I would think if somebody was being rational about it, not that they tend to be, is that they would want to avoid any consistent pattern just because it makes it easier. And I know that's probably part of the thing that they get enjoyment out of is, you know, leaving their calling card. Yeah, okay. But I don't think too many of them have the aptitude sometimes to be able to even figure that part out.
It's interesting because, I mean, there are sort of some of the more general run-of-the-mill crimes, and I'm not sure those are necessarily people that have exceptional IQs. But then there are those offenders who definitely are on the high end of the IQ level.
Like embezzlers and things like that?
Not necessarily embezzlers. I mean, there are people who are very, very specific in certain types of crimes, and they tend to plan it out. They tend to know what they're going to do. Again, I think
much more of an intellectual exercise than an emotional one.
No, I think it's understanding that, you know, they have a certain set of rules because they know that that's the best way to avoid detection. That's, you know, that's the surest way to kind of cover their tracks. But they put enough time and energy into it that it becomes sort of the specific way they're going to do it. And it requires a certain amount of intelligence.
Are serial criminals easier or more difficult to convict?
I think perhaps they might be easier so long as we're allowed to present all of the evidence. What's difficult sometimes is a court could rule, and they do rule sometimes, that they will not allow you to present those other crimes because they feel that it's too much proof. It's too prejudicial to the defendant. And that then can become very difficult because sometimes you are trying to prove each one based upon the connection to all of them. And it really can be very difficult to show without it. It was interesting because one of the cases where I did a serial rapist who was very identical in his crimes, in the first case, the judge decided I was going to get in the other crime that was identical. The Court of Appeals reversed, but the Supreme Court ruled that that was, in fact, admissible. And it was one of the cases that helped change the law specifically when it came to sex crimes. But I ended up trying the other case. And in that one, the judge did not let in the other evidence. And it was very difficult because I had the word of a woman who had, you know, a very difficult life. And this had happened to her. And It was very difficult.
So you prosecuted the same guy?
Yes. Two separate rapes. And in one case, the judge let in the uncharged crime. So he got convicted. And then I then tried him for that other crime. And in that one, the judge did not let in the evidence of the other rape that he'd already been convicted of.
That must have been kind of weird.
It was weird.
I mean, trying the same guy for the same thing, but just...
Two different judges, two different rulings.
Oh, so it was almost like, or as if they were two separate cases entirely?
Yes, although the case that I tried second, that was the crime that had been allowed in the first case. I had two rapes, and I'm just going to make up the date so you understand.
Sure,
I had
a
rape that occurred in April, and then I had a rape that occurred in June. So I proceeded to trial, went through preliminary hearing, proceeded to trial. And when I prosecuted him for the rape he committed in April, the judge said, yes, I am going to allow in the victim to testify about what occurred to her in June. So that went up. He got convicted. That went up. Court of Appeals reversed and said, no, that other crime should have never come in. And then the Supreme Court said, yes, it should have. So that conviction stood. But while all that was playing out, I then tried him for the rape that occurred in June. And in that one, the judge said, no, I'm not going to let in the evidence of the rape in April, even though they were identical. He used the same words. He used a gun. He used a car. He took them to the same place. He literally, they were identical. If you closed your eyes, you did not know which woman was on the witness stand.
So the it was just judicial interpretation?
Yes. And it was at a time when it was much more difficult to get in evidence of serial sexual conduct.
That's got to be a little bit frustrating for
anybody
who's on the prosecution side of the equation saying, well, depends on what kind of day they're having.
Well, and I think this is, you know, really difficult sometimes for victims and witnesses because perhaps they're aware of other crimes. And they say to you, well, you know, I mean, I've even had witnesses who say, well, maybe you won't need me because you have that other evidence. And I have to say, well, you know, that other evidence isn't going to come in before the jury. And that's why I still need you to come in and testify and go through this process. And it's interesting because that is a big sort of part of the equation. That's part of the risk that we have when we say we're prepared to go to trial. You're sort of calculating all these options. And sometimes it's a real, it's the unknown.
It's the ultimate maybe.
Yes.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:45. We'll be back with more from Maggie Fleming.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Maggie, tomorrow with Veterans Day observances occurring, there's a lot of cool stuff that's going on in the area, the cemeteries, recognition, the community ceremonies. What does Veterans Day do for the district attorney's office? Is there anything special you guys do?
We do not. You know, individually, many of us do attend events. I know, perhaps because it's in Eureka, I tend to go to the one at the Adorney Center, and it's a wonderful. And I know there's a really well attended and very well done event as well in Fortuna. I've heard of it, but frequently I do go in. The office is quiet that day, so you can kind of get a lot of work done, and then it's easy to just walk over to the Adorney. But it's a great, great event, and I really appreciate that the community does that.
Yeah, it's for me, it's kind of cool, and I've always been warped in my norms in a whole lot of areas, is to see the cemeteries with the flags.
Yes.
And to see them up and then to see them down, too.
I mean,
the it's for that day. Thank you very much. And that's what it's all about. But the recognition of what these folks have gone through.
Yes.
Do you sometimes wish there was something akin to that for, like, your staff or some of the probation department and people like that that are under... You're not ducking bullets, hopefully, most times. But the stresses that are there and kind of defending the Constitution also.
It's interesting because there's a number of groups that recognize outstanding service by, whether it be a deputy DA or an officer or probation officer. And I go to those events and I really do appreciate it because it's nice to hear kind words about somebody who, you know, in their job has made a difference, and they're honoring that.
Well, and going the extra mile.
Yes.
That extra effort, not the 9-to-5 thing.
Right.
Can you survive as a lawyer 9-to-5?
No. And it's 8-to-5. But no, you can't. I don't know anyone who's ever successfully done this job 8-to-5.
Okay, with a long lunch.
When I first started, it was 7-to-6 because we were Monday through Thursday.
Yeah, that's right.
Was
yeah,
the four-day weeks. That was a long day.
Well, hopefully tomorrow will be a nice, pleasant day.
Yes.
Everybody will go out, be able to spend a time, whether a small moment or a large, longer moment, reflecting on the vets. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.